It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. We heard earlier this morning from one of the student reports that some garter snakes were seen down in the Northfield area. And last week, as we were on air, we heard from Hank, who lives in Baxter, Minnesota, who ran across a garter snake as well. So they're coming out. The first snakes are coming out of the ground after their hibernation and getting ready to be active. I'm not sure they're going to appreciate the weather that's coming their way in the next couple of days. Ed Dallas down in Deerwood was telling me that he saw a morning cloak butterfly yesterday, and we suspect that that butterfly will be wondering why on earth he got up this week when he could have gotten up next week and been a lot happier. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I had the pleasure of seeing a red-tailed hawk along the Blue Heron Drive this week. It was a lot of fun. I've been looking at the snow in the woods around my house, and a week ago, all of the snow on the south sides of any stand of spruce, balsam, or pine was melted, so that you could see the effect of that dark evergreen foliage causing the snow to melt away. But on the north side of that band of trees, or in the deciduous forest, a week ago on Wednesday, a week ago from tomorrow, the snow was still at, I estimated it at 90%, and it was the 10% on those southern exposures that was the open country, but everything else was covered with snow. I went out yesterday and I estimated the snow cover at around 10%. So it's really, really come down. That rain that we had, I had 11/100ths of an inch of rain one day and 14/100ths the next. That was Sunday and Monday. And so the rain really helped remove a lot of snow from the area. I've been checking the speckled alders, the tag alders, for pollen release. And in my area in Grand Rapids, I was unable to dislodge any pollen. The catkins now are 6 to 7 centimeters, which is 2.5 to maybe 3 inches long. So they're getting distended, but they're still not releasing pollen. I was down in the cities last Friday, and in the Cedar Creek area, north of the cities, about 40 miles, I was able to shake some pollen out of a catkin there, but it didn't come out dry and in a big fluff. The catkin was tapped vigorously while a black glove was held underneath it. And after abusing the catkin quite extensively, we were able to see, maybe 15 or 20 grains of pollen on the glove itself. So it still hasn't quite made the blooming of the catkins yet. And so we are looking at, the average date for that is April 2nd, and we are now at April 9, so we're a week late on the speckled alder. Fly honeysuckle is, the buds are swelling, and the fly honeysuckle is one that puts out leaves pretty early, and so I watch it kind of exclusively in the springtime. And looking at the fly honeysuckle by my house, the buds are swollen, but there's no cracks in them yet, and I wouldn't say that they're anywhere near coming to being open. I looked at pussy willows around my house last week on Wednesday, and there were 3 shrubs right down along the edge of the lake that were getting full sun, and had all 3 of them were prominently decorated with pussy willows. A trip to the cities on Friday, and I saw lots and lots of willows with pussy willows on them. I saw a goodly number of pussy willows yesterday on my trip over to Bemidji. So lots of pussy willows in the area. Driving down, driving back from the cities in the dark on Friday or on Saturday, the moths were swinging into my headlights. So I was running into some moths. I've been hearing over the last couple of days, I didn't hear it this morning, but yesterday and then last week on Friday, I heard Great horned owls calling, which is always a thrill for me because I really consider them one of the great birds of the forest. And I've been hearing also barred owls calling. I got a report of a saw-whet owl calling. So there are a few owls around. Sean Conrad was telling me that he heard some saw-whet owls down in the Aiken County area. And Ed Anderson had a saw-whet owl calling by his house up in the Big Fork area. So they're coming back into the area as well. On Sunday, I heard rough grouse drumming, and that was the first that I had heard this year. And so I was pretty excited to hear that. That was Sunday the 7th. 7th, and the average date for first calling or first drumming is April 3rd, so not too far off. What's that, 4 days? So that's not too far. That falls within average. So rough grouse are drumming. If you're out, you probably can hear them, and you should probably check them out. Yesterday's drive between here and Bemidji was absolutely stunning with all of the beautiful willows and red osier dogwoods that were just bright as can be. And I also saw yesterday for the first time cumulonimbus or cumulus clouds. Clouds where the updraft had started them to pile up. And yesterday I also saw my first killdeer of the year and first woodcock of the year, first infant moth of the year. The infant moth, when you see it, you're going to think, what's that little orange and black butterfly? Because it kind of is a day-flying moth, and its wings, it's got about a one-inch wingspan. And you're going to see flashes of orange and black as it flies. Well, it is actually the infant moth. And that's kind of an early arrival for spring. So we'll keep an eye on those. And I'm hoping that you get a chance to see those as well. My phenology reports that that's about 3 days late from average. So not too far off there either. And early this morning here at the studios of KAXE, I saw a common grackle. Now, I've got a special guest, and for those of you who have been listening to the Phenology Show since its inception back in October of 83, this voice will be very familiar to you, and we have had many conversations. It's great to get back in touch with this gentleman, who is a retired wildlife biologist for the Department of Natural Resources in Minnesota. I'm, of course, talking about Bill Berg. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning to John and everybody in KXE land. This is Bill Berg, the old retired DNR biologist. Finally calling back.
Boy, it's good to hear your voice. Man, it's been too long. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I called last night because I had a bunch of old phone messages on the machine and it was plugged up. And I thought, better go through them. And there was a call, I don't know how long ago, from a guy named John Latimer. And so I gave you a call, and that's how this morning happened.
Yes, and I am so thrilled. Yeah. I was thrilled to hear your voice. And, of course, one of my first questions to you, and I'll ask it again right now so you can tell everybody, is are you swimming in the lake? and maybe
well,
I should.
Not yet, because there's ice piled up on the shore. last year, I guess a lot of people even over there know that I take a dip in the lake from as soon as ice goes out, I guess, to almost fall freeze up. Last year I started on April 4th, so I'm going to be late, like the drummers, like everything else. Going to be a little bit late this year. And early fall, or rather early spring, it's not a swim, you know. It's a dip. Sometimes it's a really quick dip, but it's really invigorating. It's a good way to wake up in the morning. You should give it a try.
You know, I think that many of our listeners will remember back in the day when you were living up on Trout Lake here in the Grand Rapids area, and how you would be swimming the day the ice went out and swimming the day the ice came in. So it's good to hear you haven't lost all your bad habits.
Yeah, and it wasn't just me that did it. You know, my late wife, Terry, there was one day that she actually beat me. She actually went and took a dip, submerged, and it was, I don't remember the year, but it was the day after the ice went out on Trout Lake. So
yeah.
she also enjoyed that early morning invigoration. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And this morning, in fact, looking out the window, looking at the big lake, Lake Superior, every day, there's some new ice that drifted in.
Oh, dang. So you're going to have to put off your swim one more day. Well, we're glad to hear your voice. And I've got a question, and I realize this is more of the field of game birds, but my neighbor, my next door neighbor, saw four turkeys in his yard. He feeds corn to the deer, and the turkeys found it and came up and helped themselves. What can you tell me about turkeys? I am so amazed.
I have some feelings that are a little bit different from a lot of sportsmen who like to hunt them, but I have feelings that I think parallel a lot of environmental people and ecologists. It was 40 years ago or more, maybe 50, that DNR started experimenting with different subspecies of wild turkey, putting them in the southeast. And there's evidence that they most likely lived before even white settlement in the southeastern part of the state. And then DNR began putting a few more farther and farther north, and they kept on establishing new lines north of which there wouldn't be any. But the population really took off. It brings smiles to a lot of people. They go all the way almost to the Ontario border, and they for sure go all the way to the Manitoba border up in the northwestern part of the state. And I have mixed feelings, and a lot of hunters would disagree with me a little bit on it, but you know, that's a bird that it does parasitize some bird nests, including it's known to parasitize in the northwestern part of the state, prairie chicken nests.
Oh.
In Pennsylvania, it's thought to parasitize rough grouse nests. And it's a critter that walks through the, first of all, our northern woods, you know, it's kind of a new species, and the turkey's carving out a new niche. They're fun to have around. They're fun to watch. But they eat about every living thing that there is in the woods, including salamanders and lizards and nightcrawlers and worms and all kinds of bugs and small birds. I have a mixed feeling about turkeys. Fun to watch, neat to have them, but they probably are going to have a hard time adjusting and displacing other critters.
Well, and I think you're exactly right. I have the same feeling that they've got to find something to eat, and I hadn't even thought about the critters that you mentioned, but they're going to have a definite effect on the environment, and I don't think it'll be an effect that will be absolutely good all the way around.
Yeah, I remember years ago, and back when I was still at DNR, somebody in Floodwood had released some wild turkeys. And this happens once in a while. People buy turkeys and raise them, and it's against the law, but kind of a fine line there. And they kept on landing back in the old days of TV antennas, landing on TV antennas on people's houses and towers. And TV antennas are not made to hold wild turkeys. And so they kept on busting TV antennas and then calling DNR and asking for a new TV antenna. I remember that one pretty well.
Hey, Bill,
that happens. That kind of stuff happens, you know. So
Bill,
one of the joys of working with DNR Wildlife Research, it's a family, you know, and it was just a wonderful place to work and spend a career.
Yeah, replacing TV antennas is an important function of the Wildlife Department. Hey, Bill, in the spring we used to often ask you about your, what I called your voyeurism, how you like to go to the sharp-tailed leks and watch them mate. When's that going to happen? What time of the spring?
Well, a lot of folks at DNR called it sex in the sedge, and that's exactly what it is. You know, most of these sharp-tailed leks are in open, wide-open areas, grass and sedge areas. Some are kind of wet, but most are dry and upland. It's been going on for probably a month. The peak of all grouse breeding over in that country over there is like roughly April 22nd, 25th, something like that. Might be a tad later this year. I still do that a little bit, but I run over to Wisconsin where their sharp-tailed population is just perilous. I mean, it's really something compared to Minnesota's.
You mean it's in danger?
So that'll be happening pretty quick. And just last Saturday, I still stay very involved in. Last Saturday, me and about 40 or 50 other sharptail enthusiasts went to the Sharptail Society Spring Fling in the northwestern part of the state at Lake Bronson, way up in the northwestern part. And it was a wonderful meeting and well run, and I still stay connected and still enjoy that stuff.
Well, do their populations fluctuate like rough grouse?
Very little. I mean, they fluctuate. You know, rough grouse kind of fluctuate on 10-year cycles, but sharptails really don't. You know, they follow it a little tiny bit, but it's nothing like the dynamic, dramatic 10-year cycles of rough grouse. But they go up and down a little bit. But the population trend in sharptails is downward, and because they need open landscapes. And, for example, when I first came to Grand Rapids down from the border in 74, and in 1975 we began counting sharptails there, and there were 17 active sharptail dancing ground complexes in Itasca County. And by the time I retired in 2001, there were zero.
Wow.
Zero. So it went down a lot. And, you know, we used to count them in northern Aiken County. And it's about maybe down, maybe half those leks are still there. So we're kind of losing that open characteristic of the landscape. And that's kind of a sad thing. But as time goes, wildlife changes. Wildlife species change. And new species come in. And older species sometimes fade out.
Bill,
that's the case with the sharptail.
Yeah, Bill, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again. Let's not make it quite so long next time. You and I need to stay in touch, and we will have you back for more conversations. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I think of Grand Rapids a lot when I zoom by, sometimes middle of the night, always in a hurry, always have been. And thanks for inviting me to have a couple words with KXE folks. It's wonderful.
Good to hear your voice, Bill. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's retired wildlife biologist Bill Berg, a guest for many years here on our morning show, Tuesday mornings and other mornings, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, any more of the phenology report, or should we move on?
You know, let's see. Let's go ahead and move on, and then we'll sneak in. We got a couple northwestern. We've got Shevlin and Kellyer to cover.
Okay.
And we'll get to those.
And
either now or in the 8 o'clock hour.
All right, Harry Hutchins is going to join us for a talk on the wild side in a few minutes as well.